And my title of my message is, What's on Your Menu? What's on your menu? I think we sometimes, it's hard that in the days that we are lean in our soul, we try to find other things that will occupy that space, when what we really need to do is get closer to God and eat at His table. Amen. We need to pull up. Is anybody hearing me today? When anybody face any lean times in your spiritual walk? And we need, during those lean times, we need to push into the things of God. And we need to get around the table of God and eat from the table of God. And in this hour and time that we're living in, we are living in lean times. And we're experiencing times to where it seems like that the farthest thing from people's mind in this time of Thanksgiving, in this time of Christmas, is God. That seems to be kind of the trend.
Yes.
Cameron, did you find my slides up there? I hope you can. The first one, yeah, that's it. Yeah, and I'll tell you, I'll give you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. How many just likes food? Well, I want to preach to you this morning from the book of Micah, chapter 7, beginning at 1. Verse number 1 through verse 4, if you stand for the reading of God's Word. I want to share with you and want to, and I want to bring you to the table of God this morning, even in the lean times that we're living in. And that's exactly where Micah was. He was in those very lean times of not only his life, but the life of Israel. The house of Israel, there was very lean times. And in those lean times, he yearned for the food of God.
Yeah.
He yearned for the things of God. Hello?
Yes.
All right. So he said in verse number 1, Woe is me, for I am as when they had gathered the summer fruits, as the grape gleaners of the vintage. There is no clusters to eat, and my soul desired the first ripe fruits. Get that in your mind this morning. Is, you know, there's nothing more succulent than this time of year than a big juicy pear or a handful of grapes that have been picked. The good man is perished, Micah is saying, out of the earth. And there is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net. They that may do evil with both hands earnestly. The prince asketh and the judge asketh for reward. In other words, they was taking bribes. Does that sound familiar in our world today? And the great man, he uttereth his mischievousness desire, so they wrap it up. The best of them is a briar. The most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of thy watchman and thy visitation cometh. Now shall be their perplexity. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. This passage of Scripture is not as complex as it may seem. But it very much tells a story of not only when Micah in his day, but it tells a story of our day. Hello?
Amen.
We are in a time where it seems like the briberies and I'm sure I'll mention this again, to where it seems like those that are the perpetrators have more rights than the victim, than the victims themselves. And I've told you that before, but understanding where Micah is coming from and where we are today does not mean that we crawl in a hole and diminish, but we seek after the things of God. We hunger and we thirst after the things of God. We desire with all of our hearts Micah was saying, I wish I could go through the grape field and I could pick a big cluster of grapes and I could enjoy them as the juice would roll out of the corner of his mouth and down on his shirt. He desired to have those things of God. Somebody said, that's gross. No, when you're really indulged in something like that. Sister Diane, her siblings used to go, when they was little, used to go pick grapes there around Tawnytown in that area. And she confessed to me that she ate more than she took home. You know why? She desired those. She hungered after those. It satisfied. And that's the way Jesus Christ is. But in can I tell you that even in these times to where it seems like that all the grapes have been picked, and if there is any left, there's none of them that's juicy. They're dried up on the vine. Can I tell you that there's still a God in heaven above that will feed you from his table and will bring satisfaction to you, but you need to hunger and thirst after him with everything that's within you. Can I tell you that like Hezekiah and the prophet Micah, they've done their best to purge out all the corruption that they could in their day. And as with Jeremiah and Isaiah, they cried out against the sins of Israel. Can I tell you, it's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ that is keeping the Antichrist is at bay. I believe that with all of my heart. It's the Spirit of God that lives inside of you that is keeping the Antichrist at bay at this very moment. But can I tell you, when Jesus Christ looks at the Father and the Father said, go get my children, son. There's going to be an awakening and there's going to be a splitting of this world like you ain't ever seen before. And I want to be among the missing church. But it's those that hunger and thirst after the things of God. It's those that desire more than anything else. More than anything else, they desire the things of God. They cried out. Jeremiah and Isaiah cried out. Can I also remind you of Jesus' observation as he stood on the mountain and gazed down over the city of Jerusalem in Luke chapter 13 and verse 34 and 35 as he cried, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killeth the prophets and stoned them that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered you, thy children, together as a hen doth gather her brood or her chicks under her wing, but you would not. You see, you understand today, church, that the God that we serve today, Jesus Christ, as you come around during worship and praise and you yearn for more of him, God himself and all of his majesty and all of his glory is looking over the portals of glory, craving to have a relationship with you, desiring that you come to his table, desiring that you understand that it's those fruits of God Almighty that he has a table spread where we can come and dine, even in the glean days. Amen. His surplus has never went wanting. Never went wanting. He said, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time come when ye shall say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Can I tell you today, the final verse, when it is sung, he's going to come with a shout of victory out of the portals of glory and bring his children home. In every human being, there is an emptiness that needs to be filled. A longing to be loved.
Yes, sir.
And understood.
Yes.
And for most of us, can I use an Arkansas, Oklahoma word on you? And for most of us, it's a hankering to eat food. Y'all know what hankering means?
Yes.
Anybody in this place ever had a hankering?
So I'd be hangry.
You can tell on Sunday nights where the hankering is. There's different times that hankering varies with a wide difference of spectrum of different cuisine. They like that big word. Ain't very many people that can use hankering and cuisine in the same sentence. With that being said, we sometimes go to great distances. Hear me, okay? Please hear me. Hear my heart this morning. We go to great distances to curb our unique appetite.
Yes, come on.
While we make sure our fleshly appetite is satisfied, we so often neglect and suppress our spirit man that desires and longs to be fed from the table of God.
Yes,
yes
we do.
I mean, really, really, church. What do we do at 11:30 at night when we suddenly have an urge for pizza if we miss Mazzio's? We go get it, right? I mean, there's some pizza place open all night, or we go to the freezer. Come on, preach with me just a little bit. You know I'm telling you the truth. I'm talking about having a hanker, okay? What did you do when your pregnant wife wanted pickles and ice cream at 2 a.m. in the morning? Don't answer that. What about that overwhelming desire? And we'll preach to you for just about 5 minutes and then we'll get on with the message. What is it about that overwhelming desire for mama's fried chicken or grandma's apple pie? And you didn't realize just how much you really miss it till they went around to fix it. Somebody hear me. You see, just because the rest of the world is going to hell in a handbasket does not mean you can't feast from the table of God. Did you hear me, church? Does not mean that you can't feast from the table of God. Just because of all the sin and all the despicable things that's happening in our world today and all the injustice that's happening and going on does not mean it should make us more determined than ever to get to the table of God and feast at God's table. We should desire that. Number two, Cameron. Whatever your specific specialty is, you know right now you're drooling over your favorite dish as you see this guy digging in. Some of you will have nightmares tonight. But then again, as I was preparing this message, talking to God, I had to question myself. I probably should have waited until the end of my message to bring up the specific subject of your favorite food, because it's going to be pretty hard to reel you back in right now. And all through the scriptures, somebody say all through the scriptures, I find writer after writer with a very strong implication that the very nature of God's people, the very nature of God's people should have an overwhelming desire to hunger and thirst after the very heart of God.
Yes.
And to hunger for a relationship with Him that pales into comparison to the natural appetite. Can somebody get it again? I've got to take you back to the vineyard one more time during the end of the harvest. That when you desire to have those, how many likes grapes? We got some grapes the other day from one of the stores, and they're so juicy. I mean, just made you want to eat about six or eight at a time and just let them explode in your mouth.
Amen.
Hello. You ever done that? You ever put five or six in your mouth and just bite down all at once and they just explode in your mouth?
Yep.
That's what I'm talking about, the hungering and thirsting and desiring the things of God. You don't care if it spills over on somebody else. Seeking God, it needs to spill over on somebody else. But to have that desire, I'm here to tell you today, and I'll confess to you, when I have that piece of chocolate cake or that fudge brownie, I have such a desire for a big glass of ice cold milk. Anybody feel the spirit right now? That I evade the glasses and go straight for the jug. I'm telling you. Hello? I can tell by the look of some of y'all's faces, you do the same thing. Hallelujah. That's spiritual. It's spiritual. And my wife says from the front room, "What are you doing?"
That's right.
Closing the refrigerator. See, I hope that somewhere in this humor that I get across to you, that there is nothing any more important to you than have a desire and a hunger and a thirst for God.
Come on.
And I've got to get there. I said, I've got to get there. I've got to get there. I said, I've got to get there. I've got to get there.
Come on.
It's that desire for God that's going to get you through the rough times of your life. And yet it's through the rough times of your life that it seems so detrimental that we have a struggle to try to get there to start with. But can I encourage you today, church, that it's in those struggles of your life that you've got to get there.
Yes. Amen.
He said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. I have a table spread. We used to sing a song a long time ago, Come and Dine. Master's table, come and dine. How many remembers that old song? We probably need to sing that tonight, don't we? Maybe even after a while. Come and dine at the master's table.
Yes.
Can I tell you that it's absolutely a must in our world today to thirst and hunger after the things of God. That there's nothing in your life that's going to get in your way to get what you need from God that you can eat and drink from his table. Matthew chapter 5 verse 6 says, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Number 3, Cameron. So why is it so hard? Why is it so hard to maintain a hunger for God? Why do we struggle to satisfy the soul of man? And yet we indulge in everything under the sun so that we appease the appetite of the flesh.
Right. Yes. Come on.
From sports.
Yes.
To overspending at our favorite store. And we bar none to bring satisfaction to our belly.
Right. True.
And yes, it's hard to conceal that I like to eat too. But I oftentimes in my life, I think of Psalmist David in Psalms chapter 42 when he writes about the deer. For he said, as the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God.
Yes.
So does my soul pant for you, O God.
Yes.
I don't know if any of you, I'm sure some of you have. You've been in the woods, and if you've seen the dogs chasing the deer, and the deer running ahead of them, and their tongues hanging out their mouth, and they're longing to get free and get away from the dogs just so they can get a cool drink from the spring. How many's ever had that picture? Few. But it works with other things as well. The point is, David somehow put it into words that as the deer pants after the water brook, so does my soul pant after you, oh God. That means I've got to run to the well where the thirst will be quenched. I've got to run to the well. Jesus told the little woman at the well, this is water that I give to you that you'll never thirst again. It's that water that satisfies when nothing else will. Now, how many's noticed that there's times in your life that, and some of you like Coca-Cola, some of you like Dr. Pepper, some of you like Mountain Dew, some of you like sweet tea.
Yes.
How many's ever noticed that nothing satisfies like a good cold glass of ice water?
Yes.
You'll try it sometime anyway. I've got to get there. I've got to to get there. With everything that is within me, I cannot allow anything to stop me. He said, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet Him? I've got to get there. You see, the reason Micah had such a hunger and a passion, as he compared it to the summer grapes on the vine, was that there was no longer the spiritual leader with his core group. He was talking about that cluster of grapes. There was some leaders that needed to lead. And would to God today that we would consecrate and dedicate our life, that the men would get together and begin to lead their families and lead their churches and lead their town and lead their state and lead their country and not be afraid of what men might say.
That's right.
That's what Michael was talking about. There's no leaders. The clusters of grapes have dried up. There's no core group. But I challenge the men and the women of Trinity today to seek for the old paths one more time. For you see, Micah's generation had fallen into the prey that was in the Word of God before. They had forsaken the old paths. They had followed their own ways. And if I could put it in the terms, perhaps, where the majority of us could understand, some of you today understand exactly what I'm talking about, but I miss this fellow right here speaking to you this morning with everything that's within me. I miss those Holy Ghost-filled services where the power of God took over and the Spirit of God began to flow and tears flowed down the faces of every individual that sat in the pew and would come to the altar. I long for those days when the power of the Holy Ghost would saturate men's lives to a place that we no longer considered ourselves our own, but we was bought with the price of Jesus Christ, and there was nothing, there was absolutely nothing that was going to stop us from getting to the table. I remember those days where sinners would run to the altar, where men and women that lay slay underneath that altar under the power of the Holy Ghost, where our kids knew what it was to reverence the power of God, and they themselves become fully submitted to the power and the presence of Almighty God. Can somebody say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Several of you know exactly what I'm talking about today.
Amen.
While others only have heard it, and there are some of you perhaps do not have a clue. But I assure you, when you get a taste of it, there ain't nothing like it, and you want to go back for more. But I assure you that when we get under conviction of the Holy Ghost and we begin to lead ourselves and lead our families and lead our brothers and our sisters to Christ, and we forget about what time it is and what we have to do after church, and we hunger so much after the things of God that we push away from the table, we'll get lost in God's presence and our desire for God to fill us up, because nothing is more important than meeting with Him.
That's right. That's right.
Nothing's more important. Callahan's and Pizza Hut after church no longer even is a consideration.
Amen.
Our desire is, let's have church.
Amen.
Listen, there ain't nothing wrong with having fellowship after church as long as we prioritize our time with having fellowship with God.
Amen.
Please, church, understand my heart. And what I'm saying today, understand what the prophet Micah is saying here. I'm telling you right now, number four, Cameron, I'm telling you right now, if we look around about us, and it's so obvious to see that the cluster of grapes that represents righteousness has been picked clean. I must repeat that, because a little girl with spaghetti all over her has grabbed your attention. Kind of cute, ain't she? Go ahead and say it. She is. Even with a mess. How many volunteers to clean her up here in a minute? So here we are. I'm telling you right now, if you look around about us, it's so obvious that a blind man can see that the cluster of grapes that represents righteousness have been picked clean, been taken out of this world. The only those that are left that's barely clinging to the vine are few and far between, and have shriveled up and lost their juiciness. We've become content with eating raisins when God has so much more for us. Sudai and I was talking the other day. Seems like a lot of those old saints wasn't afraid to stand up and tell you about Jesus has gone home.
Yeah, that's sure right.
They've gone home. So you know what that tells me? It tells me that somebody needs to get a hold of the horns of the altar of God and say, God, here am I.
Yeah.
Make me the next old timer.
I'm ready.
Huh?
Yes.
Hello? God, make me the next old timer.
Yes.
I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm getting ahead of myself. I hunger and I thirst after those days. 10, 11 o'clock comes by and there's still people praying around the altar, still seeking God. I remember in this building, but there has been those that we had to lead out because they was under such influence of the Holy Ghost that they couldn't even find their way to their car.
Yes.
Hello.
Amen.
Can I ask you how many really longs for those days?
Yes.
How many really longs for those days? How many really longs for those days to be you?
Yes.
That's the secret. That's what we need. And we need it to be us. Lord, I need it to be me. I need to get to that place that it's me, Lord, that is under such an influence of the presence and the Spirit of God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. The world needs to see what's genuine.
Yes.
They've seen enough fake in this world to last them for the rest of their life. They need to see something genuine.
Come on.
And let's face it, church, we ain't what we used to be. Hello?
Yeah. Come on.
Come on.
Talking truth.
Yeah.
We ain't what we used to be. And I'll be honest with you, I ain't proud of it.
Yeah.
Me either.
Oh, God, help us.
I know the message that I preach to you is not the most popular message. They would rather hear eloquent teaching that will make you feel good.
Big news.
My preaching ain't eloquent, but if you'll listen, it'll make you feel better than good.
Yes.
We need somebody that'll stand in the gap, make up the hedge.
Right.
We need somebody that ain't afraid. Micah was trying to tell us what was happening in his world, but it's an exact replica of where we are today. But we need some men and women that'll stand in the gap and make up the hedge. So I come by to tell you today, just as Jesus declared to us that he is the true vine, and he that abides in the vine will have life. And if Jesus Christ is the true vine, and we are in him, it is our responsibility. How many believes Christ is the true vine? And if he is the true vine, it is our responsibility to replenish with inside of him the juicy cluster of spiritual grapes that will create a hunger and a desire for our kids and our grandkids to come to the altar and be filled with the presence and the Spirit of God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Habakkuk 3:2 said, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive. Somebody say, Lord, please revive me.
Yes.
Revive the works in the midst of years, and in the midst of years make known, and in wrath remember mercy. Even Micah spake of the prince and the judges of that day, perverting justice. He compared them both of thorns and briars, and they with both hands rushed to spread injustice. Of both sides of the law, inside and out, there seems to be no justice, no mercy, no fairness. And the heathen seems to rage relentlessly from the halls of Congress to the streets of our city that are ravaging with hate and rioting. Oh, but there is a stream that flows from the throne of God. Oh, but there is a table that is spread. Oh, but He is the vine that replenishes the clusters of grapes. And yet the church, when we see all of those things with all of that which is available to us, yet the church seemed to be unmoved with the activity of sin. And the church that has become so lethargic that seems to have no hunger for God. When and what will it take?
Yes, come on.
When and what will it take for the place, for the church to begin to cry out to God once again like David did? And I tell you, when we get desperate for God, when we realize we have no other options, when we get desperate for God, when we realize we have no other options,
right,
and all of our options have been depleted by a godless society and a sin-crazed world that seek their own agenda, we will cry out. Hopefully it won't be too late.
Amen.
Several passages of Scripture, but David shared with them in many instances and places. In Psalms chapter 84, he said, "How admirable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God." He was expressing his desire to come to God's house. He said in another place, he said, I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." He said, "I enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise." And in verse number 3 of chapter 84, he said, "Yet the sparrow hath found a house, and swallowed the nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God." And somebody said, "Well, how in the world did they let the birds into the house of God?" Listen, that was David's metaphor of saying, somebody get to the house of God. Somebody desire God's house. The bird has a desire to find a place to make a nest to raise her young. How much more should God's child want to come to the house of God? The more as he sees that they approach him and say, "God, I want a place that's filled with the Spirit and the power of God. I want a place where my kids will know what it is to experience the power of the Holy Ghost."
Amen.
Blessed are they that dwell in the house. They will sing praises unto thee. A heart that longs to dwell in God's presence. We need to have a heart that longs to dwell in God's presence, not just to come by for an occasional visit.
Right. Amen.
But a love that supersedes any personal desire that one may have. Chris, would you all come to the piano, and Cammy? Psalms 27 and 4, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, one thing that I ask and desire, seek from the Lord, I will seek after, I will inquire, I will insistently inquire." Reading from the Amplified Version, it puts those words, "insistently desire," showing the emphasis that I've got to get to Jesus. You see, that's where the little widow woman was with the issue of blood. She had no other options. Are we going to wait till we have no other options? Can't you hear her saying, "I've got to get to Jesus. I've got to get to Jesus. I've got to get to Jesus." There wasn't nobody in her way that was too big. There wasn't a multitude that could keep her held back. I've got to get to Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Do we have that desire today?
Amen.
I've got to get to you, Jesus. I've got to get to you, Jesus. The grapes have shriveled up in my life and around me. And I've got to get to you, Jesus. I've just got to get to you, Jesus. Insistently inquire that I may dwell in the house of the Lord in His presence all the days of my life, to behold and gaze upon the beauty, the sweet attractiveness and delightful lovingness of the Lord, to meditate, to consider and inquire in His temple. Oh my, I hope and pray that just a smidgen of this message have gotten to you today. With this world filled with all of its violence, what we need desperately is a watchman that will continue to cry out with God, for God, that made heaven and earth. Can I tell you, it's Jesus Christ is the only hope for this sin-sick world. When we get to that place again, that we rehearse and we sing and we mean what we sing, those old songs. Remember when we used to sing those old songs, take this whole world but give me Jesus. Come on, somebody. Take this whole world but give me Jesus. What about that song we used to sing, Lord, will you do it again? Lord, will you do it again? And yes, He cries from the portals of heaven, I will do it again. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I will heal their land as I hear their prayer. He'll do it again. When's the last time that we sung that song, whatever it takes to draw me closer to you, Lord? That's what I'm willing to do. That's what I'm willing to do. The same passage of Scripture that Micah wrote, chapter 7, could find the same reference in Romans chapter 1. And we could find that same reference if somebody would write the letter today in our world. Yet there is a God in heaven above that has conquered everything. And just because the world has distinguished the fresh fruit that was on the vine, I don't know about you, but I crave it with everything that is within me. And we need to cry out to God, because it is He, through you and I, that can revive that fruit. We've got to have it, church. We've got to have it. I said, Jesus Christ can revive it. Though the world tries to destroy it, Jesus Christ will give it back to us. He will revive us. Somebody wants to cry out to God, God, revive us again. Number 5, Cameron. Micah cried out and was overwhelmed by the corruption of his society, violence, dishonesty, and immoral with rampant. Few people were really good. And the family love had disappeared. The intensity of his interceding and prayer was that God would intervene. He craved the refreshings of God's presence in his generation. And just as we should today with everything that's within us, oh God, here am I. Restore, renew, refresh. And with that being said, in closing, as everybody stands in this building today, if we truly desire to have Him to replenish that which was lost, and even His table and drink from His cup, let us do as Jeremiah chapter 6 verse 16 says, to seek for the old paths and walk in them, His precepts. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14, as I've already said to you, that we are to humble ourselves, seek God's face fervently, pray for His Spirit, to convene in our lives as never before. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Heavenly Father, I come to you right now, giving it all I have. Lord, that I might in some way embark upon that spirit that you have spoken to me for the hearts and lives of the hearers. I ask you, O God, right now, that you will challenge us with your word. Let the Holy Spirit come by, touch us, challenge us, O God, like never before. We thank you, Lord, and give you praise in Jesus' name.